Good morning. How's everyone doing? Doing well. Good to see you this morning. I want to go ahead and dismiss our kids, release them for Revolution Kids. We are so glad you are here. They're going to worship together upstairs, celebrate communion, have a blast. Kids, we are so glad that you are here. Awesome. All right, well, as we continue in our spirit of worship this morning, something I wanted to do right here at the beginning of the teaching for this morning is to give you an update from our charge conference meeting that we actually had on October 20th. Sounds like that was a long time ago, but it goes like that, right? So October 20th, the leadership and church met, and they voted on new leadership. They approved the budget, set salaries for 2020. And I just wanted to update you on some new leaders that are going to be joining our teams. Joining the finance team is Brenda Gannell and Bob Lanham. Joining SPR, Staff Parish Relations team, is Carrie Owens. Joining the trustees is Matt Wallace. Our lay delegates that are willing to serve at annual conference are David and Sharon Earsman. So I just want to give them a round of applause. Thank you. Now, these are the ones that required a vote, but we also have many other leaders. We added Heather Casa del Valle, Katrina Lanham to the release team. We have leaders that serve on guest services and prayer on our village, men's ministry, create team. I just want to, if you serve in any of these leadership capacities, if you're one of these lead teams, if you're on one of these teams, will you please stand? Awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Worship team, some of you didn't stand. That's okay. There are more of you. And I am so grateful for you and the work that you do here for our church and in ministry together. Also, just want to let you know, the budget that was approved, projected income of $463,000 with our planned for expenses being about $460,000. This is a decrease from the year before, about $70,000 from the projected income from last year. Some of that has to do with decreased giving, which is to be expected in a time of transition that we have seen as a church. So the finance team, our leadership, want to be very good stewards of the money entrusted to us as a faith community with hope, with preparation for the year. And so the adjustments that were made are really across the board to have a healthy, balanced budget. But one of the adjustments also made is that we're sending less to the annual conference in yearly apportionment giving. Still sending some, but less than we were. We want to get that up. We also want to get our giving back up. But at leadership, we are very hopeful, very excited about the new year and all that God has in store. And we know that God is faithful, and we know that God began a good work here. And as Scripture tells us, God will continue that good work and bring about its perfection, its completion, until the day that Jesus Christ returns. And so we just wanted to give you that update. I wanted to give you that update to let you all know kind of where we are, but very hopeful, very excited for the new year, very thankful for the leaders that have been those good stewards that have made some of those decisions with us and with staff and myself. And that's where we are, excited and hopeful for 2020 and all that God is going to do through and among us. So that actually leads directly into the scripture passage that we're going to be taking a look at this morning from Philippians. And that's from Philippians 1 as we sort of tie up this series, All Things, as we tie this up, giving thanks to God in all things. The scripture passage that I wanted to take a look at this morning comes from Philippians 1, verses 1 through 11. You're going to hear that familiar thing I just said. We are confident that God will continue the good work began here in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite you to read this passage along with me. This is Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy. Thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel thus about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you all are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearned for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness which come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. All right, here we have again a letter from Paul to the church in Philippi, starting out right off the bat with thanksgiving for the people there. This is typical Paul, usually does this, but what's different here is the very personal nature in which he writes this letter. How I long for you with the compassion of Christ. Gives us the sense that Paul really cares for, really loves, really knows this community well. Writing from prison, likely scholars are debating this, but likely from Rome, sitting under capital punishment charges, writing from Rome, and yet the letter to the Philippians, one of the major themes is joy, and joy in all things. And so I love how Paul begins this right off the bat with that tone of joy, with thanksgiving. And he says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Or I thank God every time I think of you. Every time you come to my mind, I thank God for all the love, for all of the support we have shared. But it's more than simple reminiscing for Paul on the good old days gone by. It's more than just sort of, this is a friendly group, he knows them well. No, this remembrance is foundational to the identity of the church community there, and that is an identity that is grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's not just sort of these casual friendships, it's a united together in the body of Jesus Christ. And to be a community of faith then is to be a community of memory. I think that's what Paul is teaching us here. To be a community of faith is to be a community of memory, to share and tell the stories, first and foremost, of Jesus Christ. To tell the story of his life, death, and resurrection. We do this every time we gather together, every time we worship, every time we celebrate communion, we tell the story of Jesus Christ and of his salvation for the world. We tell the story of our future hope and glory. Do this, as Christ says, as often as you do it, in remembrance of me. So to be a faith community is to tell this story first and foremost, but then to tell our stories of how we have witnessed God's work and the work of Jesus Christ among us. Because we have a story as a church as well. A story that is rooted and grounded in the love and reality of Jesus Christ. A story of over 9 years of faithfulness and joy, of growth, of times of sorrow, of laughter, of changed lives through this gathering of people. Through the weaving together of different stories, through the ministries of this church, through the mission partners that we have. It is a story that tells of how God shows up and works through us and among us. It's a story of God's faithfulness and goodness, of what God is doing here. Because I truly believe we experience the love of God in the presence and care that we show for one another. I see God at work in each and every one of you. To be a community of faith is to be a community of memory, of storytelling. On the first week of this series, I'm not sure if you remembered it, but I challenged you to show your gratitude to one another by reaching out and saying thank you to someone in the church, or to say something that you are grateful for, to show your appreciation. Again, because when we say to one another thank you, or I appreciate you, or I love you, we are really thanking God for the work that God is doing among us. So I had a few willing participants, and I'm going to take a look now at some folks that were willing to say, hey, this is why I am grateful. Amen. Amen. Thankful for each other. And when we say that, we are saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for how you work and show up and move among us. So anybody else want to throw out something? Add to that? Anyone else what you're grateful for about Revolution Church? The teaching. Someone else over here? For the outreach. Yeah. All the babies. That is right. I thank my God every time I think of you, in every remembrance of you, because we see God in each other. And when we think of each other, we have that opportunity then to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Paul goes on after this, just in these first couple of verses, and he says that he is thankful for the partnership in the gospel from their partnership, the church in Philippi. He is thankful for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I love this word, partnership. It's the Greek word here that you might have heard before, koinonia. Koinonia. Oftentimes it's translated as a gathering or a fellowship of believers or a sharing together. But I love that our translation this morning says partnership, because I think it captures the spirit of the role this community has played for Paul. In Romans and Galatians and 1 Corinthians, Paul uses this word again in those letters in reference to a financial support that those churches have offered him in his missionary journeys. Partnership. But it's not a personal gift that Paul sees. He doesn't see this as just a personal gift, but it's a means whereby they share in the task of spreading the good news by their support. And this is more than just the financial gift. It's prayer, it's friendship, it's love, and financial giving. And in so doing, they have shared in the task of spreading the good news. They are sharing in that work. Paul even names some individuals from the church at Philippi at the end of his letter as ones who have labored side by side with him. These women, he says, that co-labored with them in the gospel. Not because they were side by side on the path he took on his missionary journeys, but because of their partnership. Because of their koinonia. We know this. We are not all called to preach. We're not all called to teach or serve with the kids. We're not all called to travel around the world as missionaries. But we are all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all called to share the love of Christ, to be the revolution wherever we go, in every space we enter. We can't do all the things, even though we feel that pressure, and we might try. We can't do all the things, but we can partner with one another. We can pray for and financially support the work that our brothers and sisters in Christ are doing in our community and around the world. And in so doing, we become sharers in that same work together. Perfect example that I witnessed on Friday night. One of our house groups went down to Grace Kids, a missional church in South Louisville, a church just for kids now. And they served a meal. This is a church in a very under-resourced neighborhood that's opened every day in the afternoon after school. They have a computer lab, video game room. They get tutoring help, provide a safe place for kids to go off the streets. They have worship on Sunday, teachings on Wednesday, and meals that they serve Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. I think we served about 50 kids on Friday night, kind of more of their fellowship, lots of dodgeball. You know, we're not all called. One of our house groups went and they served, and I just got to tag along. Pastor Corey there said many of these kids bring themselves to church. They wake themselves up on Sunday morning and walk themselves to church from the neighborhood. Here's all the dodgeball. We are not all called to move to South Louisville. Grace Kids doesn't need 15 Pastor Corys. But what they do need is people that are willing to partner with them. They need people that are willing to serve meals. They need people that are willing to tutor kids. They need another bus, an actual church bus, because Corey goes around and picks kids up from the neighborhood that's too far to walk. He needs folks that are willing to partner with. And this is just one example. This is just one new opportunity that I named back when we talked about service. If your house groups are looking for a place to serve, especially with kids, all of our kids were there and participated and ate and played right alongside of the kids. It was wonderful. It was great. This is just one example of what it means to partner with as church, as a body of believers. So when you give to this church, when you partner with us, you are participating in, co-laboring with, spreading the gospel through our ministries of worship and discipleship with Rev Kids, Impact Student Ministries, with our women and men's ministries. You are partnering with Family Scholar House and Go Ministries and Heat and all of the other release and outreach we do. Even if you are not physically present at all of these things, again, you can't do all the things. We hope you might be present at a few. But even if you are not present at all of these things, by your support, by your prayers, by your giving, you are sharing in the work of spreading the gospel, of being about our witness as a church in our community. So maybe this is a good time to ask, how might you further your partnership, your koinonia, your sharing in with our faith community in the new year? Where could you serve? How might you be in prayer for the mission, the staff, the ministries of this church? Maybe you join our prayer team. Maybe you show up on a Friday that we're here every Friday. Folks are here praying. How might you give? Maybe in a more consistent basis than you have before, or maybe a little bit more, deepening that partnership by your prayers, your presence, your giving, in one or all of these ways. Maybe it's a good time to ask toward the end of this year, looking at the new year, how might you deepen your partnership so that we might continue to be about the revolution of God? Because God is up to something here. God is at work. God is doing big things. And I am confident that the God who began a good work here will continue it. As we seek to build that kingdom of God, as we seek to co-labor with God here on earth. So verse 6, what I've referenced many times, I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we often hear this verse in a very individualistic way. The work that God began in me, God's going to continue. This verse was on the wall of my youth room growing up. And I remember seeing it most Sunday nights and going, yeah, you know what? I am good. God did start something good here, and God's going to keep doing it, all right? And that's true. That's true. But if we emphasize too much the individualistic tone of this, we'll miss the communal context that Paul had planned. Because the you that Paul uses here is actually a plural you. So it's y'all, right? The work that God began in y'all, God's going to keep doing. Other translations have said the work among you instead of the work in you. Among, trying to capture that. It's a group that God's doing among you, right? Because Christianity is about more than just our private, individual, moral perfection. It's about more than just good behavior and acting right and maybe striving to be better or nicer or holier. It's about more than just our individual task. Christianity is a relationship. It's a story of salvation of the world that is lived out in a faith community. It's a call to belong to a community, to belong to the body of Christ. To belong to God's people. That's why Paul begins his letter to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. That's why I began this series on All Saints Day. talking about what it means to be saints, belonging to the people of God. To be holy, then, is to belong to a holy God, a part of the body of Christ. Together we are whole. Together we are one. Together we are good. In the gathering, we are holy. The work that God began among the people of Philippi, because of God's faithfulness, because of God's goodness, it will continue. And we can be confident of the same thing. The good work here will continue among us together. It is good to give thanks to God for one another, because we are not only showing appreciation for each other, but giving God the credit, giving God the praise and glory for the work that God is doing here. So I am so thankful for our leaders, for our children's teachers, for our house group leaders, for the house groups who serve, for people inviting new friends to church, for those who welcome and host and show God's hospitality. I am thankful for each and every one of you and how you share in the work of preaching the gospel here and in our community. Because I see God in each of you. Paul ends his letter by saying this. Oops, there you go. Paul ends his letter, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul says, "I have learned to be content in all things." I've learned to be content in all things. As I said, he's writing from prison. He's known suffering. But he says, you've participated. You've been partakers in grace, not partakers in suffering. He's experienced Christ at work all things, and so he's giving God strength. He's giving him strength and victory for the sake of the gospel. As we talked about in this series, we give thanks to Christ in all circumstances because Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is in all and through all. We give thanks to Christ by experiencing Christ in all of them because God's redeeming and bringing the reconciliation of all things together according to the great master plan of God, our Creator. Even in our suffering, we look to a God who suffers with us and who will have the victory over all. Paul knows this and Paul gets it. And that's why Paul can say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul rejoices in the Lord for the partnership of the Philippians who've had that concern for him. And so my prayer for us, as Paul ends, may our love abound more and more. May we know such strength. May we feel empowered by the presence of Christ, no matter what. That our prayers this week and in the weeks to come might be, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." I love this from Meister Eckhart. I've said this before, I believe. He's a German theologian and mystic from the 14th century. He says this, "If the only prayer you said was thank you, that would be enough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Let us pray. Gracious God, we are overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by your goodness, by your faithfulness, by your love for us. Even in our moments of trial and of suffering, God, we are so grateful for your presence that is always with us and for the presence and love that we experience of you through the love and care of one another. How wonderful it is, God, that we can truly experience you at work in all things. And so, God, we pray that you may increase our love, that you may increase our partnership, our koinonia, our fellowship with one another, that we might witness and be co-laborers with you of seeing that kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise and glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you this week. So glad to see you here. Go in peace and be the revolution. Amen.